I'm so excited to welcome Kyla Dufresne, the founder and CEO of Foxy Box, a waxing franchise with 18 locations across Canada that's redefining confidence and empowerment. What started as a bold idea to shake up the waxing industry has grown into an incredible brand celebrated for its inclusive and unapologetic approach. Kyla's story is one of leadership, resilience, and embracing individuality, and I can't wait to dive into it. Kyla, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me. What a beautiful space, and I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yes, thank you. So I'd love to initially just jump right into Foxy Box and what inspired your whole business.
Yeah, how did I get started? Foxy Box came to fruition 12 years ago now. I used to go to get my Brazilian waxes out of a lady who had a home spa in her basement. And if I didn't pre-book my appointments every 3 weeks, it was near impossible to get an appointment. She didn't have online booking, things like that. So, you know, you'd have to text or phone and wait for her to get back to you. So I really saw the missing niche market of a fun, affordable, and fast place to get waxed. The only other options other than finding someone awesome who worked out of their home back then was a high-end spa where you probably spend $100 or more in a dimly lit room with someone who probably didn't want to be in there doing that service, or the back of a nail salon, which maybe didn't have the most hygienic standards. So I really realized the gap in the market. I was a bartender at the time, so I used my bartending tips. I put myself through school. I learned how to wax. I got my certificate. They showed me one Brazilian in school. I went, okay, you're certified, you're on your way. And that's where the idea of Foxy Box came to, was based from my personal experience.
Yeah, I feel like that's how the best businesses are born, is truly seeing for yourself that gap and filling it. So
I also fell in love with the art of waxing. I used to watch the lady wax me, seeing hair and then no hair and the smooth skin was like artistic to me. I really loved the whole experience. Yeah. So I was excited to start waxing myself and performing the service.
In the early days, you were bartending while building the business. Tell me about juggling that all.
Oh my gosh, I was much younger, so had a lot more energy. If I tried to do that now, I'm not sure if I could do it. I used to bartend until, you know, 3 a.m. I would get home, and then I would wake up and go to wax at 9 a.m. at Foxy Box, my new business. I will tell you, it was a grind. But I didn't have access to capital or money. Banks wouldn't give me a loan back then. So I really had no option. That was my only choice if I wanted to start a business, was I had to fund it myself, which meant I had to hustle and I had to grind, which is kind of in my DNA. So it wasn't too hard for me back then. Bartending was the best platform for me to start my wedding business, because every customer that came through the door woke up with a Foxy Box business card in their pocket the next day. So it was actually a really great platform for me to promote Foxy Box. And I used to be a pretty cool bartender, and so I was pretty well known in Victoria. I really leveraged that and leaned into that. So I would go to other bars and hand out coupons and promote myself in that night club industry. And we had access to all these young women that were students and, you know, looking for our services. So that combination of careers was actually really great for me. Like I said, it was a grind, it was a hustle. I don't know if I could do it now at my age with a baby, but back then it worked really well for me to launch our business.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like so many people talk about habit stacking now, so how to maximize your time. And I love that you were doing that while you're bartending, because it's like you weren't just thinking of it 2D, you're thinking like, how can I build my business while I'm also working to fund the business? So it was so multidimensional in that way. And I love that. I feel like that's, you know, a true hustle mentality.
Totally. Leveraging one for the other. Yeah. I used to really lean into, and I'm saying I used to because I used to be hands-on with staff, and now I'm the franchisor. So my support goes to franchisees. But when I did have staff and I was running my businesses in the early days, I would really lean into and leverage the strengths of my employees as well. One of my employees, she loved burlesque dancing, and she worked at a high-end spa, and the high-end spa went, you can't promote yourself online. Don't, like, we don't like your social media and Instagram, because they didn't really like that side of her for their business. I leaned into that and I went, this is what you're passionate about and what you love. let's lean into this and go for it. So she used to go do flash mobs from people, that trend. So that when that was trending, I went, why don't you and your burlesque group go and do flash mobs at the bars? I know the connections from all the nightclubs in Victoria. And so she would go around and the DJ would put on a song and she'd do a flash mob and hand out Foxy Box swag and coupons to all of the guests at the bar. And we had people come through the door like, oh, where'd you get that hat? Oh, I got it at the bar. Some girl gave it to me at the bar. I got this coupon. So it really worked. So really leaning into your staff strengths and leverage what they're a part of, if they like dance or music or what industries are they in, and how can you get your business involved to help leverage your brand, I think is so important.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to talk more about the culture that you've cultivated at Foxy Box. But staying on the topic of building the business and juggling both, I'm also curious to hear about when you felt like you were ready to move Foxy Box from kind of like a side hustle to your full time, and what that looked like for you. Because I feel like so many people struggle with when it's time to make that transition.
Yes. People will tell you two different things. One, you should give it your all, jump into one thing. That can put a lot of stress on somebody, which is like, okay, it's all or nothing. It can be a good thing because, okay, there's no backup plan. You better make this work. But on the other side, if you've got responsibilities, and which everybody does, having a side hustle or making sure that you have guaranteed income will help you focus more, feel more comfortable building what you're building. So I think there's two sides of that coin. For me, it was, like I said, I couldn't get funding to build. I had the build outs, I had to fund them, and couldn't get a loan. I was a bartender. I didn't make very much money. So I really had to hustle hard to make my dream a reality. And so for me, making the decision to stop bartending was at a point where I could feel so comfortable and know that Foxy Box can pay my living so that I can live comfortably without having that bartending as my backup. Mm-hmm. So bartending was great, like I said, to help me get off the ground. It really was crucial in my growth at that time. And it helped me focus on my vision because I wasn't strapped and struggling all the time.
Mm-hmm. So did you kind of set a number of when Foxy Box reached a certain point that you would be ready to transition, or was it more fluid and you kind of felt ready at a certain time?
I'm an entrepreneur that is not a big planner. I've heard that saying, you know, entrepreneurs just aim and, or you should aim, fire, shoot, or whatever. What's that saying? You know, like aim and then shoot, and entrepreneurs just shoot. And that's me. I'm not a planner. I just kind of shoot and do things and then go, okay, let's backtrack. How do I run this rocket ship now? So no, it wasn't a, okay, if I get to this much in sales or this, then I'm going to quit. It was much more fluid. Like, okay, I don't need this now. And yeah. So I made the transition.
Yeah. I love that you share that too, because I think that especially people that are transitioning from a very corporate background into entrepreneurship, yes, I feel like they can sometimes look to run the business similar to how their mentality was back in the corporate background. Whereas I feel like being an entrepreneur is all about launch fast and adjust and continue to just pivot as you need to. And of course, there's something to be said for planning, but I do think that, yeah, there's more leaning into just getting things done and figuring it out as you go.
Figure it out, try new things. I think a lot of people might get stuck on, if you are too much of a planner, you might not actually ever do anything. Or you might lean into that fear of, oh, what if it doesn't work? I think the benefit of us crazy entrepreneurs that just go is that we don't think about the what if. Because if you think about the what if too much, you probably aren't ever going to do it. So you just go for it and then you figure it out. And I will say, we are a franchise now, so I'm saying I don't plan or organize. We have everything systemized now. Those early days was, yeah, let's go and try new things and do this. And now we have worked backwards and we have things systemized. So it is great for entrepreneurs that are leaving the corporate world and want to get into a franchise. That's why they buy into a franchise, is because those brains that like that structure and organization, that's what a franchise provides, is those structures, those standard operating processes, everything is in place for them to follow, which we have now. So
yeah, absolutely. Back when you opened in 2012, like discussion and marketing around topics like waxing was so different. So how have you seen that landscape change and how has it impacted your business?
Great question. Think back in 2012, Brazilian waxing was like hush hush. It was an embarrassing thing, or people didn't want to talk about it too much. You know, so it was kind of like this secretive club. If you found someone that worked out of their house, or if you found someone great, it was like, oh, a lot of that grassroots and organic and referral. And so we really came into the market like bold, in your face. hey, we wax vaginas, don't beat around the bush. Here we are in your community. When I first opened Foxy Box, I was on a second level and I was afraid to go storefront. And I was afraid to go storefront because I thought, I think we're busy. We were smoking busy being second level. And I was afraid going storefront, people would be embarrassed to come into our store. It would be, people would be ashamed or scared to kind of walk in through our doors. And boy, was I wrong. I thought we were the busiest place in Victoria when we were second level. And when we opened storefront, our growth was exponential. Hearing people while we were building out, people walking past reading our Foxy Box wax bar and then looking at it and then, aha, and then giggling as they walked past, seeing that light bulb go off where they're putting it together, our name and brand and then what we do, was so invigorating for me. I loved, okay, yeah, people are going to talk about us, you know? So I think that back then it was like a hush-hush thing, which is why we saw such rapid growth, because we were really the first to come into the market as we're a wax bar and we wax Brazilians. That's what we do. Now there's wax bars pretty much anywhere, everywhere you turn, there's a wax bar. What sets us apart still is that we're funny. We like to incorporate humor into the service because it was such a hush-hush, secretive thing, kind of. We wanted to make it a comfortable and inclusive experience. So we've really incorporated that into our brand and our core values and made it accessible for everyone. And that's still how we stand out, is by incorporating that humor, that comfortability, being gender neutral, inclusive, all of these things is how we stand out now amongst the noise and the competition of all these other wax bars that do what we do, but not like how we do it.
Yeah, I love that. And so tell me more about coming up with the name and the brand identity.
Yeah, so one day I'm going to take the lady who drew my logo, I'm going to take her to Brazil or something. I owe her a trip. Back when I had the idea of Foxy Box, I had like a few business names. I can't even remember what the other ones were, but I had a few names picked out and then I would ask everybody like, which one do you like? And everyone was like, Foxy Box, obviously it's a no brainer. And then Tara is her name. I need a logo. She said, oh, I know someone who's in graphic design or she's an artist. I took her for a beer. She drew my logo on a napkin. And it charged me $50 for it. And that's the Foxy Box logo that you have today. Tweaked a little bit to make it more modern and put the lines sharper and what have you. But that's how the logo came about so long ago.
Wow, I love that. That's so fun. I feel like, you know, I love just hearing about the early stages of the business. Yes. And of course, me being on the marketing side and the branding side, it's always interesting to hear how it all came together. And I feel like it's probably one of the most fun stories I've heard.
So many people, I mean, you should invest in your brand and your foundation, and people put a lot of money into like creating a brand. And for me, we just kind of, red was like my favorite color. You see me, I put red lipstick on for you today. I'm a mom at home on my farm, so I rarely wear lipstick anymore, but I used to wear red lipstick all the time. Red's my favorite color. So that my job as the founder and crazy entrepreneur, I am a visionary as well. So I love that branding piece. So creating the space and the feel and the atmosphere is my strong suit. But people do, they pay a lot of money into creating a brand, and for me that was what I leaned into, and also my friend who was a designer just helped me out with that. But I will say too, back to like the branding side, I know that you're in the marketing and helping create brand and foundations. I tell this to every entrepreneur starting, is that you should invest in your brand foundation. I will tell you, I created our logo, I created the idea, this culture and this space of Foxy Box. But we got to a certain size where I went, I know that we're cool, but I couldn't tell you why. And so I invested in a brand foundation retreat. And that's the biggest piece of advice I give to everybody, is come up with your core values, your mission statement, your vision. Who do you want to align yourself with? What is important to you? Because if you want to grow and scale, how do you grow and scale without losing what you've created? Because ultimately, Foxy Box was me. I started Foxy Box out of the dining room of my house with roommates. People would show up and knock on the front door and go, I'm looking for Foxy Box, confused. It was like Fight Club or something, you know? And I had to provide that experience that made them go out and tell 10 friends, oh my God, I just had the craziest, most amazing wax ever. You need to go see my girl, Kyla. I had to take that experience and put that into a brand now. And then as we grow, how do I keep that feeling if I'm handing my name off to other business owners and growing? So investing in that brand foundation is so critical. Who do you want to align yourself with? What are your core values? What's important to you? Come up with decision-making funnels. All of those things is the first thing. If you want to scale your business, that's the first thing you should do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. Creating a inclusive and uplifting company culture is clearly a huge part of Foxy Box and something you were sharing before. So how do you go about fostering that environment? And I'd be curious to talk about from both the early stages, how you're fostering it, and now, because I'm sure it looks very different.
Yeah, great question. So as I mentioned, branding retreat that we did, creating that brand foundation was so critical to ensure that we are maintaining our culture as we grow and scale. The branding retreat that I went to was incredible. There's two ladies that run the retreat. One of them is a brand specialist and the other one is an equine therapist, which is horse therapy.
Yeah, I love that.
So what they did, they pair those two things together to come up with a brand foundation, because us as founders of businesses, our brand is us, right? So how do you dissect that and dilute that and put that into processes and systems? So I would have sessions with the therapist and she would go, okay, here's the why of why you started this brand. Here's what's important to you. Here's what you want to align yourself with. And because of those therapy sessions, it was, I understand why you want to empower women from your background or your upbringing. And how do you want to leave people feeling, which is powerful and energized. So we came up with all of these things from the therapy session and then positioned that in a branding retreat and figured out how to systemize these things. How do we pair those two together now, your brand and your alignment? So when we do interviews, we have all of these things systemized and we train our franchisees things to look for in their staff so that as we grow, we are maintaining our culture. To work at any Foxy Box, you have to have three qualities: empathy, a positive attitude, and be self-responsible. If you don't have one of these three traits, it's not the right fit. So coming up with these things to teach our franchisees, it makes things clear for them. So if they go, well, yeah, you know, Sarah is great, but sometimes she's kind of mean to her coworkers or whatever. Like, you can always just revert back to those three things. Here's how you make decision-making easy and things to look for. And then we put those into hiring processes, traits to look for in the interview process so that you can help narrow your search down with your staffing. And then to your point about inclusivity, we had an aha pivotal moment probably about, I want to say three-ish years ago. We used to, and a lot of wax bars still do this, and a lot of businesses still do this, we used to have on our menu male services and female services. And we would have people call in and go, well, I'm just not sure what service to book. We would have people who identify as a female who have penises, or people who identify as male with vaginas. And we went, why are we making this confusing for people? We are a safe space for everybody that is so important to us, that we are fun and safe and inclusive. And so we shifted and changed our menu. We had a team meeting. We took out gender from all of our verbiage. So now you can just book in a full leg. We would have even our full leg and underarm on the male menu. We'd have a male and female and you'd have to book in as your gender. And we had different pricing too. And I think we took that from, that's what the norm was in spas. So that's kind of the model we went with, until we had this aha moment where we went, this is wrong and we need to change it. So we took all gender out of all of our verbiage. We now, any gender, anyone books in for a full leg, underarm, what have you. And our Brazilians are based on anatomy, so there's no confusion. You can book in for a 20-minute Brazilian, which is anyone with a vulva, or you can book in for a 40-minute Brazilian, which is anyone with a penis, because that service takes a little bit longer. We were the first wax bar in Canada to go gender neutral, and we see other people following suit. And I love that, because we don't want to make anyone feel shamed or embarrassed or have to call or ask what service they should book. So that was very important to us.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting, because before we had actually connected, I was walking down the street past a wax bar looking at their menu, and I was thinking how separating it by gender is so, you know, just not with the times.
Yes.
And then when we connected and I saw that you guys had moved away from that, I really appreciate that. And I have been seeing the change kind of starting to happen, but it's so nice that you've been early adopting in so many ways throughout Foxy Box. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to circle back to that brand development retreat. Do you have the name of it? I feel like so many people will be curious.
Leap Zone. They're based in Nanuse on the island. Isabel and Marguerite are the two that run the retreat, and they're phenomenal, incredible, wonderful. Isabel does TED Talks, and she's a business coach and brand strategist. She's amazing. And they're just so lovely. Worth every penny.
Amazing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to go myself. Yes. Have there been any moments, whether from clients or your team, that have made you kind of step back and reflect on the impact that Foxybox is having?
You know, I've owned 5 corporate stores in my history with Foxybox. I've since sold some of them and put franchisees in, but I still own 2 corporate stores. And at one point, probably 2 years ago, I was going through some management transitions at one of my stores up island on Vancouver Island. And I stepped in to help with the interviewing process. And it was such an incredible and humbling. I get emotional thinking about it because I am so removed from the day-to-day operations of stores that I don't get to see the impact that we have on customers. And I don't get to see them leaving with their shoulders back and, you know, smiling and laughing from their experience with our magicians. And so I got the opportunity to step in to help with some hiring. So I was conducting interviews virtually to help with hiring of one of my corporate stores. And it's moments like those where my heart just explodes out of my chest because we ask, you know, why do you want to be a part of this company? What do you know about Foxybox and why do you want to be a part of the company? And to hear the praise that we get and the recognition of, you guys are gender neutral and I love that. This is a safe space. I have friends that work here and it's like a family that you've cultivated and created. You know, all of these positive, wonderful things is just, yeah, those, it's moments like those where I get to sit back and go, this is incredible. And we're so focused on the day-to-day of running the business and where we're going and the big vision and stuff. And it's moments like those where I get to step back into the operational shoes of the stores or chat with customers where I go, this is cool. And we're in 18 different locations now having this impact on people, which is a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, that's so, so special. And I completely agree. I feel like there's, of course, so many different ways that people measure impact or success. But for me, it's always those moments of connectivity and seeing the community that you've built. Speaking of impact, tell me about Foxybox's environmental impact.
I learned about this program called Green Circle when I was getting my hair done, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, when my girlfriend owned a hair salon and she said, oh, we just partnered up with Green Circle. It's such a cool initiative and company. All of our waste is recycled. Typically in the hair industry, things that have dye and chemicals on it, you can't recycle. And they take all the tin foil and everything. And so it's a program that they had. So that's the first moment that I learned about Green Circle. And it was probably 5 years ago or so that I went, we need to reach out to them. As we're growing, seeing the amount of waste that comes out of Foxybox and out of any wax bar is incredible. We are single-use items that you typically can't recycle. You're having wax and everything on them. You can't recycle this wooden stick. So it's a lot of waste that is getting thrown into the landfill. As we grew in scale, I went, we need to do something about this. So I reached out to Green Circle and we partnered with them. All of our locations are Green Circle certified, which means about 90 to 95% of our waste is recycled. So they take all of our waste. They use a process where they burn single-use items to put into the power grid. It's a process that they do. And then the remnants from that process get put into making things like tires, paving roads. They make garbage cans, combs, things like that. So all of our waste is being recycled. We are the only wax bar franchise in Canada that is a part of Green Circle. So some time to figure out the process of it. We have to keep the boxes in the back. FedEx has to pick them up. So logistically, when we're doing our build outs, you have to have space for the program. There's a lot of logistical things that maybe sound too complicated, which is why businesses might not want to incorporate it, but it is so critical and so important. As we grew in scale, it was very important to me that we do our part in reducing our carbon footprint on this planet. So, I mean, we've figured it out. We have our logistics down, and I encourage anyone who has a beauty business to launch Green Circle. It is something we charge an eco fee that gets passed on to the customer. So I think a lot of businesses too see it, well, it's a cost to me because I have to pay for the program. But that is something that customers are so happy to pay that extra little bit to help the environment. It's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look into Green Circle. I hadn't heard of it before.
Any hair salon that you go to, you can ask them that. Are you Green Circle certified? Do you use this program? If the answer is no, all of their stuff is going into the trash. So it is important, I think, for everybody to jump on board with a program like this.
And I'm curious to jump into the experience of franchising. So yes. What initially inspired you to franchise the business?
Jazz, I knew I wanted to franchise before I even started Foxy Box, but I didn't know what franchising meant. You know, my vision when I started Foxy Box, I'm going to start Foxy Box and I'm going to take over the world one box at a time. I'm going to franchise. I'm going to be huge. Like I was, you know, I was 24 when I started the business and I had these big dreams and aspirations, but I actually had no idea what franchising actually meant. So when I sold my first franchise, I was still working in my business full time, taking clients, waxing. So when two of my top estheticians came to me and said, we want to be your first franchise, Kai, because I told everybody my dream. Everyone knew I'm going to franchise, but I didn't know how I was going to do it or what that meant. So when they said, we want to be your first franchise, I went, great, awesome. We partnered, signed the agreement, and then we were off to the races. And boy, did I have some steep learning curves. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have standard operating processes. I didn't have build out guides. So if you went into their location, I mean, the only way you could tell it was a Foxy Box is because there was a Foxy Box sign outside and a red wall inside. The place didn't look like Foxy Box. They had beveled tile, vintage decor, everything. You know, it just wasn't our feel. So when they opened, I wasn't available to them because I was working full-time taking customers as well. So when they needed stuff, it was really challenging to get a hold of me. So I created a terrible relationship right off the bat. It was probably 6 months into them being open where I just put a pause on everything and went, I need help. So I stepped out of my business. I hired a franchise business coach. I worked with her for a year. We systemized everything. The pivotal mind shift for me, which I didn't realize, was the moment I sell a franchise, I'm no longer in the business of running a wax bar. I am in the business of selling Foxy Boxes and supporting those business owners and making money. That's my only job. My job is to support franchisees the minute I sell a franchise. I didn't know that. So after working with her for a year, we went back to our franchisees. We couldn't repair that relationship. It was too much of a rocky start. I said, listen, we'll either buy back your location or you can keep your store and just change your name, but we've got to separate. They chose the latter. They still operate in that market. We separated. We're now back in that market. We have a Foxy Box back in that market, but we went back to market more prepared than ever with everything in place. So I like to call that my Harvard education, one of my many.
I feel like as business owners, it's so much learning as you go. Oh my and no gosh. Matter how prepared you try to be or think you are, there's just so many unexpected curveballs coming at you all the time. So I think being able to learn as you go, but also having the self-awareness to know it's time for me to bring in help.
Yes.
I think that can be hard for people. So what made you seek support in the franchise process?
I have this saying in my head from one of my Peloton instructors that always goes, no ego, amigo. She always says that you have to put your ego aside. You have to be vulnerable and you have to be resilient. All of these three qualities you have to be as an entrepreneur. There are going to be tough times. You need to be able to pick yourself up and go, what did I learn from that? And how do I do it different next time? No matter what industry you're in. So for me, I just knew that I was out of my league. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what franchising was. I just thought, oh, yeah, I sell my name to other estheticians and then they run their business. And I didn't understand that support part or that it was a different business. I didn't understand that a franchise business was different than me just running a business, to be honest. So yeah, when things were going tough, I went, I need help. And I think that's what's really helped me, you know, grow and scale is reaching out for help. Anytime I go to conferences, I'm scouting out people that are smarter than me, that are ahead of me. And I'm going, give me your cell phone number because I'm going to call you if I've got any questions. And they're all happy to help. And I do that the same for anyone that's wanting to franchise or has a couple locations. Or, I mean, I'm happy to provide my time as well. And what I've found in the franchise industry, especially, is such a supportive community. We all want to see each other win. We all want to see each other have best practices because we want to see the franchise industry as a positive industry to be in. So yeah, for me, I just knew I was out of my league and it was time to bring in help.
Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, when the going gets tough, it can be easy to kind of like wallow in it and be like, why is this happening to me? But I think that something I've learned is instead of thinking, why is this happening to me? It's like, why is this happening for me? What am I learning from this experience that I can take into where I'm headed? Has been a good mindset shift for me in those learning moments.
I love that. What is this teaching me? Mm-hmm. Stepping out. And it does get easier too. I remember being 23 or 24, or 25 and terrible things happening or things that were out of my control or, you know, or is it out of your control, you know, and going, why is this? And being so heartbroken. And now it's the more hardships that you have, the easier that it gets, but you have to be resilient. Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. And so getting away from the more challenging aspects and into the more rewarding aspects, mm-hmm. how has franchising the business been rewarding?
I mean, the most rewarding thing about franchising is I get to create, we get to create as a brand and a community, this incredible community of like-minded people that are making a positive impact in their community. We get to learn from one another. We inspire one another. We get to support one another. We get best practices from each other, ideas. So the benefit of franchising is you can scale quicker and you get to lean on each other. We have monthly meetings every month. It's the first Tuesday of each month. All of our franchisees join. And the agenda is everyone brings one win, one struggle, and one great idea.
Being an entrepreneur, having a community is so important. Yeah. But it's so nice that you get to have such a unique community in the sense that everyone has the same business or a very similar business.
Yes.
In different locations. Whereas, of course, like if I have a community of other agency founders, we can all kind of share ideas and understand, but also knowing that each of our businesses is quite different. And so what worked for one may not work for the other. I thought of that aspect of owning a franchise, and that must be so fulfilling and rewarding.
And also to your point of, you know, surrounding yourself with other people in your business, you should always be a part of, I'm part of the Franchise Association, the CFA, the IFA, but in the beauty section too, if you're not a part of a franchise and you're reaching out to other wax bars and going, what's working for you? You got to be kind of protective of your secret sauce, and people aren't willing to share that information, right? Whereas when you're part of a franchise, I mean, my God, we all want to see each other succeed and we all want to see each other win. So we're sharing all best practices and what's working in our locations and what we did in initiatives and partnerships and getting out in the community, all of these things, we get to share that with each other. So that is the benefit of joining a franchise, is you have all these people in the exact same business that are going to share their gold nuggets with you, because you will get great ideas from other industries and concepts and mentors and all of those things. But if you wanted to know, you know, how is this other business doing this so well that's in your industry, they're not going to give you their secret sauce, probably.
What advice would you give to entrepreneurs that are scaling their business but want to make sure that their brand values hold true? I know that you talked about the brand development workshop and kind of building out that book, but is there anything that beyond that you would recommend?
From the start, figure out what's important to you. And that can change. What's important to you as you grow and evolve, your business can change and those ideas can change of who you want to align yourself with. So I think that's my advice to entrepreneurs, is figure out what's important to you and then make things easy. So like I said, those decision-making funnels, those three qualities to work at Foxy Box. If we've got big decisions to make, which we've had a couple come up this year, you can revert back to those. So for us, I've come up with three questions that answer any big, tough questions, which is it profitable? Does it elevate the brand? And does it make us and other people feel good? Those three things help me answer any questions.
Yeah, I love the idea of having those questions set up. And I think it's also the questions also bring out not only the values, but Foxy Box's unique selling propositions as well. Because I think that sometimes it's a mix of keeping the values and the USPs. And if one is lost, things just kind of don't keep going. I know that that was a challenge that my co-founder and I had when trying to scale, is that we were realizing that through the scaling process, we were losing some of our USPs because we were so focused on the values. So I like that your questions encapsulate both at the same time. What does balance mean to you, and how do you cultivate it?
Great question. I've been thinking about this a lot because I am a new mom. I have a one-year-old son at home, and balance comes up often, especially for mompreneurs. What does balance look like? And to me, when I think about balance, I think of work is over here and life is over here. That's what I think of balance. Okay, and then do 50-50 and make sure they're equal or what have you. I've kind of thrown the word balance out the window and replace that with flow. And I feel like I've found my flow as a mompreneur. Some things that I do to keep my flow is I'm very cognizant of my energy and where I put it and how to keep my energy levels high, especially with being with my son. It was very important to me when I had my son that I want to be present for him. And so I've built my life so that I can work from home and I can create a schedule and that I'm not tied to appointments or 9-to-5s. Flow for me looks like when I have busy days, like today, for example, I'm over in Vancouver, I'm away from my set all day. Tomorrow, nothing on my agenda. I'm with him and I'm connecting with him because that's important to me. If one of those is out, which is funny, out of balance, if you will, I don't want to feel scattered and I don't want to feel pulled that, okay, I'm giving too much energy to one or the other. together. I want to make sure that they're cohesive and live well together. Co-sleep with my son, I have since he was born. And work, I haven't stopped working. 3 days before he was born, I signed a lease in Vancouver. We opened a store at West Point Grey, and I signed that lease 3 days before, 3 days before he was born. My COO was in the hospital 3 days after he was born, filling me in on the company. For me, I think that's also been very helpful because I can understand why some moms might get postnatal depression, or I can understand how that would happen because your whole world flips upside down. Okay, I just have this baby, you know, this is my life now. And I think that the great thing, how I found my flow, is that my life didn't really change. I just had a baby with me now.
That's so impactful. I feel like everyone talks about all the things that they potentially let go of when becoming a mom, but hearing from you and you really doing it, that it doesn't have to look like that and that it can look any way you want, it has such a big impact. So they I'm so glad coexist. You shared that. Yeah.
You can be an entrepreneur and a mom at the same time. You just bring your baby with you.
And what does leadership mean to you, and how do you inspire and empower your team of magicians? Leadership. I love that word, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, we've trademarked that. It is like humor is critical as one of our core values. And so magicians, I mean, is just that's we are magicians with vaginas. So that's where that word obviously came up to fruition. Leadership to me looks like inspiring others through energy and action, how you show up and how you engage with people, and the energy that you bring to the table and into a room is what leadership looks like to me. How do you inspire people and lift them up and lead them in the right direction, I guess, would be what leadership would look like to me, is showing up and inspiring people with your energy and actions.
How do you inject fun into the workplace?
Oh my gosh, I mean, our brand is just fun. Our red walls, our 50-foot woman on the wall, we have mugs that say, I love vagina. In every treatment room you go in, there's different fun sayings. Don't beat around the bush, viva la vulva. When I own stores, and we encourage our franchisees to do this as well, for birthdays, it's really important to me that we recognize people. People are your staff, and your people are the ones that are going to deliver the experience, so you better treat them well. So giving birthday cards to all of our staff, having each of the staff sign their birthday card, giving them a bottle of wine, that was a policy that I had at my corporate stores. We would do incentives. So like if we're holding a sale or anything, whoever has the most bundle sales gets a gift card to another business, making it like a fun competition. Or we've done team ones before. You know, if we hit the sales goal, we're going to have a staff party. But really making sure that you are keeping everybody together like a family. And because the worst thing I hear is if morale is low. I hate hearing staff morale is low. This actually just came up on our last monthly call. Staff morale is low. And I went, do you have a Christmas party planned? What is your event that you're holding? Because it's those times where you get to connect with people outside of work to go, hey, we can relax together. If we're high-paced and stressed out at work, let's take you out of that environment. Let's have fun and reconnect. Another thing that we do, which I love and hate, is anonymous surveys. If anyone is having any struggles at their stores, I always just say, send out an anonymous feedback form and see what you get back. I don't drink alcohol anymore, but when I did, I used to pour myself a big glass of bourbon to open those. Because there's some things in there that maybe you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. Oh my gosh, okay, I need to make some changes, or there's some drama going on, or maybe this method isn't right. But that's so important and eye-opening for a business owner, is having staff be able to give their feedback and ideas or concerns in a way that isn't scary for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that goes back to your point too, about building resilience through challenges and how it gets easier and easier along the way. Mm-hmm. And you almost seek them for the learning lessons. Yes. And I feel like it's the same with negative feedback, where in the beginning it can feel like such a stab in the gut. But then over time, of course, it still can hurt, but it's like, you know that it's for the best. Yes. And then it just makes it so much easier.
For sure.
Getting into some rapid fire questions to wrap things up here. What is the best advice you've ever received?
Recently, I've received a lot of advice. This is two part, because one is more business and one is personal and business. The best advice I received was from Jackson Loychuk. He is the founder of 30 Minute Hit, which is a boxing franchise. He told me probably 8 years ago, Kai, you need to be a membership model. I went, you're crazy. Let's try it. And it's the best decision we've ever made. So that was the best piece of advice as a business. Get reoccurring revenue, get people hooked on your brand, do a membership model. The other piece of advice was from another mom, which is, everything is a phase. And I go back to that all the time. And I've now incorporated that into business as well. She brought that up to me because, you know, when Bronson is my son, if he's going through this whiny phase or this, you know, this not sleeping phase or what have you, she said to me, everything is a phase. And I always go back to that. And it's true. Everything is cyclical. It's literally like a week or 2 weeks. And then he's a new person. It's crazy. But I think about that in business now too. That I go, everything is a phase. We're going to get through this. And the next phase, we're going to do different, or it's going to be better or what have you. But going back to that has been like the best piece of advice.
What is one thing you wish you knew before you started Foxy Box?
I'm kind of happy I didn't know anything, or I might not have done it. Remember, I was telling you, if you think too much about it, you might not do it. What is one thing that I wish I knew before starting Foxy Box? You know what? I wish I knew about the CFA, which is the Canadian Franchise Association. So I think that I would have learned a lot about franchising before I franchised and made a lot of connections and mentors, which I have now. So I wish I knew about the CFA. They have a convention every year. And boy, is it like your franchise university degree in like 2 days. So I wish I knew about that before I decided to franchise.
And what is your go-to resource for inspiration?
I used to read a lot, and I just read bedtime stories now, so it's a little bit different. I used to love, and I still do, I just love going to cities and getting inspired by other businesses. Going and seeing businesses that are just cool or doing things right, or their aesthetics or their vibe or their feel. Every business that I walk into, I'm kind of calculating in my head or analyzing it. What do I love about this place? What is the experience that I'm getting, or what would I do differently? Or looking around at the decor and, oh my God, this flooring is amazing. I'm looking at every detail wherever I go. So where I seek inspiration is definitely experiences in other businesses and going, how could I apply this to Foxy Box?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do too. If you were not running Foxy Box, what do you think you'd be doing?
That's a funny question, because me and my COO always joke that we would be like crime scene investigators. We always watch like crime shows or Dateline podcasts whenever we travel together. But since becoming a mom, like, I don't think I could do that job. But if I wasn't running Foxy Box, I would be in a room waxing people still, probably. I just loved it so much. I love the beauty industry. I love turning people's days around. It was so fun for me. So I would probably be in a wax room, not a crime scene investigator.
Well, you're definitely in the right place then.
Yes.
What's next for Foxy Box? Any exciting plans in the works?
Oh, Jazz, we're taking over the world one box at a time. That's been my motto from day one, and it still is today. We are just finalizing our documentation to go to launch in the U.S.
Yay, so, that's so exciting.
Quarter two, we want to open a corporate store. U.S. and Canada are very different markets as far as our business model is concerned. The hair removal industry is unregulated in Canada, so we have our own training program. We can train anyone to be a magician in 5 days. U.S. is very different from each state. So we're going to test a corporate store in the U.S. so that we can iron out all of those nuances before we put a franchisee through it. And then we're going to launch as a franchise in the U.S. I've also secured our trademarks in Australia because we need Foxy Box Down Under, and in the U.K. as well. We've recently sold master franchise for Quebec. So we've got 2 stores under construction in Montreal, and we've got growth plans to open 8 stores over the next 5 years in Quebec. And now that we have our master franchise fleshed out, I'd love to find some master franchises to help us with our global domination in Australia and UK.
Amazing. That is a lot of things going on.
Big dreams, big ideas. Yep, we'll figure it out.
So exciting. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.